Just one more on this one. Corporate Governance International has had a bit of a go at you in their report, according to what I read in the Fin Review, saying that 4 years isn't long enough in terms of the deferred rights. And they compare that with Macquarie, which leaves the money on the table for a rolling 10-year period. And I often go to the Macquarie AGM and say, why don't half your blokes just retire? Because they're worth, you know, 50, 100 million, whatever. And they always say, well, it's because we make them hang on for 10 years. And that's the secret to our success. So I guess my question would be, I'm not so upset about the 50-50 split. The share price is going up. Seems to be working well. That's great. But why not go closer to the Macquarie model of leaving it on the table for maybe 6 or 7 years? And why not put a slightly higher proportion of the bonuses into that? So rather than 25 or 30% of scrip for 4 years, if you went 40% of the bonus is scrip and you locked it up for 6 years, it would be a nod to those that are, you know, barking a bit about your remuneration policies, and it would get you a bit closer to Macquarie. So is that just a policy, or just a board policy decision? Why don't you just, you know, well, acknowledge that point and move it a bit that way?
Let me try to answer that, and I'll see if Ian may also want to answer it. I mean, the first thing is we don't benchmark ourselves in our remuneration policies against Macquarie. We do what we think's right for our shareholders and our employees. And if they happen to coincide, that's fine, but, I mean, that's not, it's not our starting point. So the second point to make is that if you look at our employees and you look at the level of equity investment that our employees have in this company, it is far higher. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, but there's a much, much higher percentage overall of investment by our employees in this company than there is in Macquarie. The third thing is that there's an issue of fairness here. I mean, I'm sure there are many people out in the audience here who, you know, either now or in the past have got bonuses. And what we're really saying to people is, look, you've met all your performance hurdles, you're entitled to the cash, but now we're going to take 35% off you and lock it up for 4 years. And by the way, if you don't stay, we're going to take it away entirely. So, you know, we have a very strong alignment and motivation with our employees. We try to strengthen that, but I think there's an issue of reasonableness. And our judgment is that holding on to that for 4 years is fair enough, particularly given that the next year there'll be another bonus, and, you know, and that gets extended for 4 years, and the next year after that there's another bonus and part of that is extended for 4 years. So they've always got some skin in the game that way.
Isn't that the point?
Can I just let Ian may want to say something further?
Indeed I do. Just in relation to the percentage, Stephen, you said why not increase it. In fact, for people over a certain level, we did increase it. For some very senior executives, we actually increased that figure from 25% to a larger figure than that, having regard to the quantum, essentially the quantum that they were being paid. So we have exercised some flexibility. I guess with respect to the 4 years, once again, I'd sort of emphasise the point. We did go through an extensive benchmarking exercise. We did conclude that 4 years was fair and reasonable given, as Elizabeth said, the level of equity ownership that already exists in this firm, but also given the fact that we are effectively handcuffing what could have otherwise been and in some organisations is paid in cash.
And the only question I get is the biggest risk for our shareholders is that, you know, if Phil wakes up tomorrow and says, well, BRW says I'm worth $350 million, I'm going to retire. Or other executives do that. Now, it's a remuneration policy question here as to whether you give them the deferred bonuses. So let's just paint that scenario. If Phil wakes up tomorrow and says I've had enough, I'm going to retire, is that just a matter for the remuneration policy to say, oh, okay, Phil, you can have the $10 million which is sitting there because you're going to retire? I mean, how strong is the lock on the handcuffs is my point, I guess. Is with Macquarie, they say 10 years, it's very strong, that's why they never leave. Whereas here...
That's not true. That's not true, Stephen. Macquarie pay that out to retirees. It is actually a non-compete handcuff. It's not anything that prevents retirement or discourages retirement. So let's just get the facts right.
All right, so that's my point is that the senior team can retire tomorrow and they'll all get all their deferred bonuses. Is that the actual policy you're telling me here? As long as they don't compete, they get the lot. So we're going through this process of locking them up But it doesn't actually keep them working. It just stops them from competing. Is that the effect of the policy?
Well, look, you know, with all due respect, Stephen, I mean, given the way our share price at the moment is, if Phil decided to stop work tomorrow, I don't think the fact that we said to him, you can't have your, you know, your 35% of this year's bonus is going to stop him, you know. I mean, he's got more than enough in any event. So, you know, let's be real here. I mean, this is not an issue relating to Phil and Jim and the people around this table who were partners in the original business, who worked for for many years to build the business up, and you know, and have substantial equity in this business. What this scheme really is about, and where it's effective, is in relation to younger executives coming up in the business who don't have that level of equity, and in respect of which, it's important that we do try and motivate them to stay. So, you know, I mean, a debate about whether Phil might leave, I think, really is a bit misleading. And you know, for a young executive, if he's likely to leave, it's much more likely he's going to go to a competitor. And that's the whole point of having the policy, to sort of keep him there for longer.